This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Remarkable Results Radio. It's Carm Capriotto, and we're here at the 21st anniversary. I think it's the 21st annual TST big event. All kinds of great technicians in the ballroom. And I happen to have one of the speakers who's on agenda today with me, Sherwood Cook. Hey, Sherwood.
How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Royalty Auto Service in St. Mary's, Georgia. And you told me, where's St. Mary's?
That's the southeastern tip of Georgia.
The southeastern. Let me figure that out. And it's like near Jacksonville area?
We're about 45 minutes above Jacksonville.
That's it.
Yep.
I've never known anybody down in that bottom quadrant.
Yeah.
How long you been there?
I've lived there for 44 years.
44 years?
Yep.
The business, 28, you told me?
28 years. Mm-hmm.
Wow. You are a TikTok phenom, I've heard, and you do a lot of YouTube, mm-hmm. and your son records you.
Yes.
And so if there's a lesson to be heard here, and that is to take the lead from Sherwin and realize that you can do this stuff and realize that social media can be your friend.
It absolutely can be your friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember, if you earn your living in the service aftermarket, then Apex is the expo for you. Continue listening, and we'll bring you the latest from Apex 2024. Save the date, November 5th through the 7th, 2024. Hey, let's face it, your shop management system is the most critical tool in your shop. And Napatrax will move your shop into the SMS fast lane with on-site training, 6 days a week support, and local representation. Find Napatrax on the web at napatrax.com. Also, thanks to aftermarketmanagementnetwork.com for information that can help you move your business ahead and for the free and informative laborratetracker.com.
So, TikTok, what brought you there?
So, my son, so when I refer to him as Sherwood, it's because his name is Sherwood also. So,
is he the junior or two?
He's the third.
He's the third, okay.
The cutest one is the fourth. So, he's coming on. Yeah, but I guess it was probably now, TikTok's probably about 2 years ago. He just came to me and said, I want to do TikTok. And I'm like, what's TikTok? He's like, don't worry about it. I'm just going to film you and you just do your thing.
And you be dad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you just be dad.
Yeah. Somehow they started calling me the professor. I have no idea.
No.
I have no idea where that came from. But that's, and it stuck. And so now it's, you know, he refers to me as dad, obviously, when he walks up to me. But then at some point in there, it'd be like.
But when you're on and you're out in social and you're trying to promote, your handle is the professor.
I mean, when he refers to me, refers to me as dad. But then when he puts the flags up and
okay.
the things up, it's always the professor's this or the professor's that. So,
got it.
Yeah. So, you know.
What are the TikTok videos about?
You know, it's a lot of different things on TikTok. There's some technical, you know, videos that we do with, you know, how we're working on cars. TikToks are very short videos, so generally less than 3 minutes we try. Some of them we have done longer. Some of them are multiple parts. But, you know, a lot of technical, you know, how we fix cars and what we do on them. A lot of funny stuff. You know, one of the big videos that blew up for some reason was us hanging from a, and all the techs hanging from a car with a pair of pliers, snap-on pliers. And then I bought all the techs a pair of snap-on pliers, and evidently that went over really good. So funny stuff. And, you know, you name it. The shop dog is in there sometimes. And TikTok is literally
anything goes.
Anything goes.
Anything goes. Anything. So have fun. Be creative.
Yeah. Death trap of the month. That's always a big one.
And what would that be?
That is literally what it is. A car will come in that.
You know, oh, I love that.
Car wheels are falling off and all that stuff.
You basically tell the customer, I will not touch this. We will not inspect it. And you shall not drive this. Let me take your keys.
We'll fix it. But you're not driving it out of here. So tow it out of here. Yeah.
Does that happen a lot?
We get usually once a month.
No.
We'll have a death trap of the month. Yes.
Cool.
They just appear.
That's a hell of a series for anyone to start.
Yeah.
In their own little community. You obviously must have a nationwide viewership, but customers come in and say, oh, I love that video, Sherwood.
We have had, I refer to them as clients. I know that's kind of.
No, I love the word client. I love the client.
And I could go into a whole spiel about that. But we've had clients come in from Tampa, which is 4 hours away. Have them come in from Atlanta, which is 5.5 hours away. Yeah, it's done quite a bit for us.
Okay. I love the word client. Go with me on this. Talk to me. What's your passion?
So a customer is somebody that comes in, gives you money, and you give them something. A client, I always think about it from a standpoint of a lawyer. If you go into a lawyer, the lawyer is not going to tell you what you need to do. They're going to tell you, if you do this, this is what could happen. If you do this, this is what could happen. Yeah. Right.
An advisor.
They advise you on, you know, the options that you have, and then you make a decision based on your situation in your life. And that's what we do at the shop. You know, we don't sell anything, right? We look the whole car over every time it comes in. Our clients know that. And then we present them with everything. We think it's an ethical obligation to tell them everything that's wrong with the car so that they can make an informed decision. So if it's $10,000 to fix the car and they say, I don't really want to spend $10,000, we could tell them, well, it's going to be $2,000 to fix your problem today, but I want you to know about the other eight. Then they could decide they don't want to fix the car if they don't want to, right? And I think that's an ethical thing. And a lot of times in this industry, I hate to say it, we fear that they're going to take the car away and not fix it, right? And we lose the job. But if you lose the job, you probably gain that client for life because you've been honest and, you know, forthcoming with them. So I've
been working very, very hard on a language shift in our industry from mechanic to mechanical specialist and from Diag A lead to technology specialist. And we've done shows on it. I've written an incredible declaration on it. Anybody can get it at remarkableresults.biz/rise. It's the rise of the mechanical and technology specialist. And in there is my wording client and my wording shift from service advisor to client advocate. I share that passion with you on calling because a long time ago, a couple of coaches told me, oh, probably maybe 5 or 6 years, we've been doing this for 9. They said, Carm, there's prospects, customers, and clients. And your goal is to make a prospect a customer and a customer a client.
I can see
that. It's an interesting evolution that ultimately, when you look at this person across from you, to make them a client because, for all the right reasons that you said that. Get them. I mean, there's a certain trust. When you go to an accountant or a lawyer who calls you a client, there's an assumed trust that you start to develop with people that know an awful lot about you. You too.
And that's a big part of it.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Is getting to know your client, getting to know their situation.
Right.
Right. Getting to know their family. And, you know, it's important to create. I get it. You hear this all the time in this business, but it is important to create that relationship. Right. And not be transactional. So that you can be an advocate.
Perfect. Yeah, perfect. So. YouTube. You're also doing YouTube.
We do.
And it's a kind of a little different twist than TikTok.
YouTube is more technical, more how-tos, diags. We do some basic stuff. We have 1 million views on a video on how to do brakes. That's more of a, I'm not going to say it's not fun. We do sprinkle some fun while we're doing it, but more technical stuff on YouTube. Longer form videos, obviously.
You have the luxury of having one of your sons, you know, behind the camera and probably doing the editing. Can anyone do this?
I mean, I don't have any clue what he does with the editing, to be quite honest with you, but he does it all on an iPhone. I mean, everything that we do is on an iPhone. I would think that probably, anybody can do it. It's a matter of taking the time to do it, right? It's a matter of, you know, you're a busy day, you're working, and when you start doing this, if you want it to grow, you know, the algorithms want you to put videos up regularly. So if you're going to do it, you can't do once every month or what, you know, it's got to be a very regular thing that you do. And it is time consuming. It's not the easiest thing in the world, I will tell you, but it's definitely doable for anybody.
So it's time consuming for both of you. If I was doing this alone and I was trying to figure out how to edit and I made a goof and I can't figure out how to cut that out and I'm so frustrated. When I think of established shop owners that are the visionaries of the company, but they would also be great spokesmen in front of the camera. Sometimes all you have to do is just to sit down with your people and says, I want to do this stuff. Anybody want to help me? And you figure out how not to drag the business down because you're going to spend an hour or two, you know, maybe 50 minutes in front of the camera and an hour and a half, you know, cleaning it up.
Yeah.
To your point, it's got to fit into the profit and goals and sales goals and customer trust goals of the business. You cannot become a YouTube sensation and lose your business.
Exactly. Would not be good.
Right?
Yeah.
So ask for help, right?
Yeah. I think you definitely get a young person in there that knows how to do, you know, that wants to learn and do the editing. I mean, you can hire people to do the editing.
Right.
Or, you know, clearly you can do that. I think it's better to do it in-house because it gives you that, it's kind of like your social media. It is your social media, right? So you just like your Facebook and all that, you want to control that. So, but I would also say, don't polish it too much. We don't take a lot out. When we make mistakes, you'll see. I mean, like on the YouTube videos, when we make a mistake, it's in there. I want people to know. I want technicians to know. You see a lot of YouTubers that they never make a mistake, and they do make mistakes. I promise you. I want technicians to know it's okay to make a mistake. Just learn from it and move on, and we're not. None of us are perfect.
I absolutely agree with you 100%. I don't think any of us would be where we are without having made a ton of mistakes. Yeah. And to your point, there's a lot of us that will never admit that we've struggled, that we had sleepless nights, that we didn't know when we were going to get our cash flow up so I could pay my parts bill or even have the checks clear on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Payroll's coming. You got it. You know, in the beginning, that's a,
It's the real world. I mean, go back, what, 28 years?
Oh, God.
Did you have like 100 grand in the bank to start?
Gosh. I will tell you, the very first money that I put in the bank was the very first car I fixed.
See?
So I started with absolutely nothing. Well, I was blessed in that I was kind of semi, not gifted the shop. My first mentor, he wanted to move off to something else. So he had the building. He had a kind of a business that was running, but it had been sold to somebody else who didn't pay what they were supposed to pay. So he had to take it back over. It was ruined at that point. And he's just like, I don't want to do this. Do you want to just take over? And so I was able to take over the shop, start making rent payments, and I didn't need electricity deposits and rent
deposits. Like,
so I was blessed in that way.
Yeah.
But I didn't have any. I was a single dad and didn't have any way to, you know, come up with anything. So it's just like, you know, we'll make it happen. And I guess I'm just stubborn and just made it happen.
It's a great story. And it's the kind of story that I think opens our minds again to realize that super successful people after 28 years had humble beginnings and they're willing to talk about them. And people always say that, I don't want to share my secret sauce with you. Well, the secret sauce is failure.
Yes.
Sometimes it can be.
And perseverance.
And perseverance. Did you ever just reach out to a local shop and says, hey, let's go have coffee?
I'm actually friends with all the shops in our county. I have no competitors, we'll say.
Okay, that's
all
right.
They all work with, we all work together. Not everybody that walks in the door, the front door, is going to be your client. So we are friends with other shops and we say, listen, we have shops that are very inexpensive, very low labor rates. They're good guys. I know they're not going to take advantage of somebody. You're not going to get it done quick. You're not going to, you know, it's not going to be the cleanest place in the world. But if you're looking for the cheapest, when somebody comes in, if that's what they're looking for, we'll refer them to them. So I've made those connections locally as well as nationwide, you know, with lots of different, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. Shop owners. But I've also gone through, I always say the right stepping stone is put in front of me at the right time in my life. I've been very lucky with that. And it's just a matter of whether I chose to step on it or not. So sometimes I fell in the water and didn't step on the stepping stone. But I went through many different consulting firms over the years, starting very small and working my way up and, you know, got a little bit from each one. It's helped me grow really and truly just in the right direction. Not saying it was always an upward trend, but I know without those inputs, I wouldn't be here where I am today.
You with somebody now?
I am with Elite right now.
Cool. Great group.
Yep.
Daryl Barney and team. In fact, my daughter Tracy, who's sitting over there producing this show, is going to fly with the Eagles this year.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
Yes.
A very good course.
We're excited about that. If you take it? Did
I
you
have.
Take it? Great. Let's go back. I loved what you said about being able to offer clients options in town mm-hmm. for different pricing, different kinds of
service
white glove,
levels.
Black glove
yes.
service, whatever it is.
Yes.
Right. But there was an evolution when you started, Sherwood, that you said one day, I got to raise my labor rates. I got to get more sophisticated. I got to be cleaner. I got to do all this stuff that brought in a smarter, better, more loyal client. Was it difficult to have to say to some of the people that still wanted to pay $80 an hour and now you're at 100?
They just went away.
They just on their own?
They went away on their own.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is not easy. You don't want to lose people. But if they're just looking, it's an evolution. I mean, you said the right word. It's an evolution there, right? And this is not something that you, now I'm sure that, you know, if I know what I know now, then I could just build it if I had the money to do that. But it does take money to build what we have today. I mean, we've got 4 client care people at each shop that take people home and deliver cars and pick people up. I mean, we had a lady with a broken down car. We had to drive her, you know, 40 miles a day to her work and back, you know, until the car could get fixed, you know. So these are all things that have a cost involved in them. I would say that, again, over the years, it started off small, I never really wanted to be the cheapest. I always knew, I'm going to date myself here, but I always knew the $9.95 oil change back in the day was not a good play, right? That was going to, understand the wording that I'm saying here is in a very positive way. $9.95 oil changes were going to bring in the wrong clients, and that we're going to, and the worst thing is it was going to repel the good clients because they're too cheap. You're too cheap. There's something wrong with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of had that feeling from the get-go. I don't know. I just had it in my brain. I don't know why I had it, but that has always been with me. And the people who were looking for something inexpensive, definitely, we got to be known as the expensive shop in town, right? We're still known as the expensive shop in town, and we're not really anymore because everybody else's prices has kind of come up to us to meet. And one of our guiding principles is we will not raise our prices just because we can, you know, so we got that from Elite actually. So it takes time to build your client base and build the people that you want, but you definitely need to start with not to like get rid of the people you don't want, but don't not raise your prices or, you know, don't start putting factors in and things into work, right? Like rides and loaner cars and whatever else you can do. Don't not put those in because you're afraid you're going to drive off people that you've had for years.
Got it.
Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, well said. Yeah. You're a deep thinker.
Sometimes too deep, probably.
That's okay, because I'm like that too. I'm a visionary. So are you. And every once in a while, you have to. I've always been an individual that said, hey, let's go there. And like Tracy will look at me and she'll go, Dad, that's like a mile away. I really actually only mean a quarter of a mile, but I'm thinking that far ahead. And if you don't think or push yourself, you'll never come to quarter mile. If you think quarter mile, you get eighth. And so you are a big thinker. Your first store, how long in business were you and you decided to go store two?
Oh, well, store two is only a year and a half old.
Oh, I thought you had more than that. Oh.
I have two stores.
A year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. So it took like 27. Why? I mean, did somebody say, come on, Sherwood, you need store two? Or was it a goal?
I told you, the right stepping stones at the right time, right?
Yeah.
And my son and I, he came to me and said, I think we should open a second location. It was Vision last year, not this year, right before that. And then we were signing up for Vision and we saw that there was a class on opening multi-stores.
Yeah.
That Greg Bunch. And
yeah,
so.
Good friend.
Yeah. We signed up with them for a little while. It didn't work out, not for anything bad, just, you know, mm-hmm. there's only so much time in the day and we were not going to leave Elite and it was just too much for me to be able to do.
Got it.
But they did help us 100% in knowing what we needed to do to get that store. So it was like, Dad, I think we should open a second store, Stepping Stone, Greg Bunch. Then the store came available. Literally, that was March. And in June, a shop owner that has been in business for 20 years, his tow truck driver was at the shop. And I just said, hey, you guys busy over there? No, it's dead. I can't hire anybody. I'm like, think he's wanting to sell? He's like, I don't know. It takes 20 minutes to get from my door to his door. 21 minutes later, the phone rang, said, come over here and talk to me.
No.
And within 3 weeks, we had a contract up and we were.
See, I love your point. It's like, if you don't ask, you don't get. Really, honest to God. Because you can sign on to a broker and say, are there any automotive repair shops for sale in the area? And you're still only touching the surface. Mm-hmm. People are always ready to sell. We've done enough shows in the last 9 years, Sherwood, that one of the funny stories is, yeah, sure, I'm available. Well, how much you want for your business? $1 million.
$1 million.
Yeah, I know. $1 million. And he says, oh, what I always told people this, and I think coaches do too, great, I want to pay you $1 million for your business. You just need to prove it to me. I need to see your books. I need to see your numbers. I need to hear about your people. I need to know about your market. And I'm willing to pay a multiple of your net operating income, your EBITDA. And if it comes to $1 million, man, I'm in. Guy leaves all get out happy. I may have myself a deal, but I got to prove it.
And they can't.
And they can't. And the deal ends up becoming $250,000, $300,000.
If I told you what the deal was on the one that I'm in, you would fall out of your chair. So
and don't do that to me, because you'll make a lot of people jealous.
Yeah, it was definitely a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Well, I just recently talked to somebody this past week about an opportunity that they just got, that 2 years ago it was $1.3 million and just bought it for everything, including land, for $699,000. See? So deals like that can happen. Be patient. Be smart.
But be persistent.
Yeah.
Don't sit back and think it's going to happen. You've got to be proactive.
Yeah. That's a great point.
Sit there and think it's going to come to you. You've got to go get it.
That's a great point. I mean, so you know all these people, as you say, they're all our friendly non-competitors in town. Do you let them know that you're looking for store two?
Well, now we're looking for store three.
Okay.
Which is in another, just over in Florida.
Oh, so you know where it is.
We know where we want it to be.
Okay.
We're just waiting. The person is wanting to sell, but we're waiting.
So be patient. I mean,
right now, we're watching from above.
Hovering 10,000 foot?
Yeah.
Drone? Got a drone out there?
We moved to eight.
I love it.
If you went to Apex 2023, then you realize the incredible commitment that Apex has to the service professional, shop owner, technician, and service advisor. Joe's Garage is your place to hang out with 10 working bays and real live working conditions. Also, the best tech companies, from tools and repair to management software, had their latest and greatest on display and demonstrated for you. You also attended technical and business management training with the industry's best and brightest trainers, coaches, and teachers. Work is underway to make next year's Apex 2024 have even more product demos, trending training, marketing, and social media support to help you grow your career, sales, and profits. Remember, if you earn your living in the service aftermarket, then Apex is the expo for you. Continue listening, and we'll bring you the latest from Apex 2024. Save the date, November 5th through the 7th, 2024. Let's face it, your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NapaTrax was built from the ground up to make your business more profitable and efficient. We provide an extensive set of tools to increase and track profitability in real time. NapaTrax offers the industry's best post-sale support, hands down, and we train your people on site. Yep, on site. And we offer remote refresher training 10 times a week, and customer support is open 6 days a week. Give us a call, visit the website, or join our Facebook community today to learn more. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. NapaTrax is always customized and tailored for you, whether you're a one-man shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Visit us on the web at NapaTrax, that's NapaTrax.com. Hey, did you know at automotivemanagementnetwork.com you can find an SOP, a checklist, forms, along with policies and procedures that can help you move your business ahead? Well, sometimes you just need a little motivation to write a policy, if only you had something to review and then make your own. You can save so much valuable time when you can grab a document from our library, make a few adjustments for your shop, and move to your next task. There are more than 350 searchable documents, with new documents arriving soon at automotivemanagementnetwork.com.
Sherwood, you're the second, you said?
I'm the second.
And you have, the son is the third, and you have another son who's the fourth. And how old's the fourth?
He's just turned 12, my goodness.
12. The son who's working in the business, the third, how old is he?
33.
There's a gap between three and four. Wow, cool. Okay. And?
Well, it's his son.
Oh, it's his?
My grandson.
It's your grandson.
I didn't name two children. I'm not George Foreman.
I missed that it was your grandson. Oh, okay. Tom Petty was here from New Jersey. Great interview. Can't wait to people to hear this one. Passionate trainer and shop owner. And he's going down his list of, you know, first, second, third, fourth. Did you ever hear my crazy story? I'm Carmen Capriotto. And my dad is Carmelo Capriotto. What does he name me? Carmen. What did they call him his whole life? Carmen. They never called him Carmelo. It was always Carm. So he names me his nickname, and I become Carmy or Junior. And I never was. I struggled with that in the earlier days. I would much rather have had maybe the second or the third. So you call your grandson the fourth?
He's Little Cook.
Little Cook.
Because when you say Sherwood, a lot of heads turn.
Wait a minute. I know a great friend who's a barbecuer, and he talks about having cooks all the time. Big cooks, little cooks. That's funny. That's good. Great. Sherwood Cook the fourth, grandson. Damn. That's what the stores are all about, right? Got to get the grandson involved in 20 years.
He works for us. He washes cars. So we have car wash.
Nice.
He does the whole thing. He washes when he's there. He does the whole video pictures when we're done. And he does a really good job. So
nice.
He's involved. Now, my littlest one, so I have a granddaughter, baby girl. She's rules all.
So, I get that.
Seven. Then I have a grandson. And I have another grandson, youngest grandson, Micah. He is going to be the mechanic. He's going to be the guy. He's all in the toolbox. He wants to see every tool. He wants to know what every tool does. He'll sit there and just go through it he'll sit there for hours going through it. So
isn't it amazing?
He wants to know how things work. Yeah. He can see his mind looking at machines.
Yeah. So, it's cool. So. I really do find it so fascinating, Sherwood, on people's ability, the way their brain is designed to want to learn, you know, tactical, mechanical. You know, I got to take a wait till
a
he takes
it. A lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of people. Yeah. Tactile learners.
Yeah. We have a thing where we do once a year where we have junior technician night. So it's always when school lets out for Christmas. my gosh, last year we had 75, I think, kids between the ages of 5 and 12 that we bring into the shop. And we have stations set up, and they can pull engines apart, and they saw how alignments were done and how suspensions work. And they are in it. I mean, these kids want to get dirty. They are. The tools are going, and it's a big thing. It started with 30 kids, and now it fills up so fast. We're thinking about, a lot of the parents are like, can you do 2 a year? Because these kids really want to do it. Kids want to do this. You know?
If you're listening to this and you're loving to hear what Sherwood Cook is talking about, and you love this, will you please steal this idea? And so let's dig a little deeper. You go to the schools. How does this get communicated to everyone? Is it just social?
You post it on Facebook.
You post it on Facebook.
And about probably within a day,
it's full. It's full.
You know, we have a friend of mine has a printing business, so we print up the little t-shirts with our logo on the back and some junior technicians, so they get the full-blown t-shirt and the certificates. And so it's a thing. So
damn,
they absolutely love
it. How much fun it would be to set up the stations.
There's a TikTok on it. We live.
Is that right?
A TikTok on it this year.
Yeah. Cool. We're going to have to check that out.
Yeah, check it out. It's interesting. See those junior kids?
Yeah. Junior technician. God, I love that. You were telling me that ice hockey is a passion of yours.
I coached it for 20 years.
Wow.
Travel
team, right?
Traveled all over. Yes.
You told me you were in a special place, that you were very cold. It was the coldest you've ever been.
Coldest I've ever been. Cold. Buffalo, New York.
Buffalo, yeah. Hometown,
in December,
baby.
that wind was at a different level. And I have been to Alaska. I've been north of North Canada.
He's killing me.
Yeah. That place was.
But ice hockey, how cool is that? And you traveled. Did your sons play in it?
My son played.
Okay.
So, yeah, and I was a single dad, like I said, so I wanted to be involved in every part of his life. So I was like, I'm going to do this. I didn't know anything about ice hockey. And then I just became a student of the game and just learned everything I could and, you know, just became a successful coach. So I had some good kids.
It happened to me with roller hockey.
Okay.
It's a great story.
You live in Buffalo. Yeah. You're from Buffalo, yeah. And you played roller hockey.
Well, here's what happened. My son was playing ice. Wherever he went for a game, I followed. And it was summer and they weren't playing hockey. And so he says, Dad, I want to go play roller hockey league. And so I said, great. I took him, and they were just starting this up. It was kind of an upstart thing. And the owner picked these teams, moved them into the corners. And I said to the owner, where's his coach? I'd just like to say hello, meet him. Excited about my son playing here at your rink. And he goes, we don't have any coaches. It was a real startup.
Yes. Yet? Are you volunteering?
It was a startup, no money.
Yeah.
And I said, in order to make sure it was fair that they all got in and out at the same time, didn't know anything, I never coached.
Okay. Yeah.
I went behind the bench, found another friend whose son was there, and I says, you, come here. And so me and another dad, we coached for a couple of years. And what got me really upset, and tell me I'm right or wrong, please, we went to the banquet, the pizza banquet at the end of the season. And I walked in and I saw 100 trophies and I got upset. I said, we didn't do well. We were fifth place out of, I don't know, 7 or 8 teams. I says, why are they getting a participation trophy? That's how it's done today, Carl.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you 100% because I coached quite a few kids. I had a good group, core group of kids that I coached for almost the whole time, but coached a lot of other kids too. And I will tell you that those kids do not like those trophies. The majority of some kids do. Some, you know, they always kind of, they're excited when they get it, some kids. But most kids, they know what that is, and they almost feel like it's an insult.
Yeah.
It's not.
All right.
Mean anything to them.
So I came from that older generation that when I played baseball and we didn't win,
Yeah. You went home with your tail between your legs.
Yeah. Hopefully to try harder.
To do better and come back next
That's
year
right.
to
yeah.
win.
What motivation does a coach have when saying, hey, they got the trophies and we didn't? You can't say that. We want the big trophy. I'll take the little one. So we were going through the basement the other day and we saw this box of participation trophies for my son, who is 36 now, Trace? 36? And we asked him if he wanted them. He didn't want them.
No. But if he had a trophy that where he won something,
yeah.
those,
yeah.
you are not going to get rid of those.
Those are great memories because you tried hard, you busted your hump. You are here to do your first ever training event this afternoon up on stage, 3 o'clock in front of all these technicians. And it's called Stay Out of the Rabbit Hole. I love it. Explain it to me.
It's not a technical class. It is a thinking class. It's like, what gets us in the rabbit hole, right? What are the, where are the pitfalls of that, right? I'm going to list 10 things that get us in the rabbit hole, and then how to get out of the rabbit hole, which is always important, and then how to stay out of the rabbit hole. What are the things that we need to do as, you know, mechanics, technicians to not fall? We're all, sometimes we're going to go down the rabbit hole. It happens to me, but we want to try to stay out of there as much as possible. So this class is again about trying to realize when we're there, back up, get out, let's get the right path. And then also, and then we got some case studies in there on when I went down the rabbit hole. And so just like I told you, when I do the YouTube, it's all there. I don't edit it very much, you know, but same thing here. I don't mind showing my mistakes. It's a powerful thing to show mistakes.
Do you need common sense to stay out of the rabbit hole?
Of course you need common sense. You also need a lot of self-awareness. You need self-awareness, right? Where am I? Not that I'm lacking like the ability, but I am not putting, I'll give you a snippet of it because this is coming out after the class, right?
Yeah.
How often does a technician just grab a ticket, go to the car, scan the car and start working on it, right? He just starts testing stuff, right? Doesn't even know how the system functions. Doesn't know, you know, what system am I working on? What other things integrate with it, right? So I'll put it in this perspective. Do you think that an ice hockey team goes on the ice to play another team? I'm talking about NHL level, because everybody should know, if you're a professional technician in this industry, you are NHL level in this industry. You are NFL level in this industry, right? You are the top tier in this industry, right? So that's who you need to compare yourself to. So do you think that any ice hockey team, professional ice hockey team, takes to the ice without a game plan? Never. Before you go work on that car, you need to have a game plan, right? And then go to the car. Now, you can go get some preliminary data off the car, but once you have that, you need to formulate a game plan. Otherwise, you're just going to be...
I love that. Thank you for the inspiration. I wrote down knowing the competition. It's game plan. Who their best forward is and what the tendencies of the competition, so that maybe you can prepare for it. I'm walking up to a diagnostic issue or problem, a no-start drivability. The game plan, I love it. But knowing the competition... Do I know this platform? Do I know this model? Do I have any history with it? Do I have any journaling that I...
Be careful with the history.
Okay.
That's another one of the things that I...
Be careful with the history. Ah, because it could lead you down a rabbit hole.
Well, maybe you worked on a 2016 yesterday, and today you've got a 2017. You think you know the car, but the 2017 changed. You still need to go look at the description and operation. You still need to go make sure you're not...
Know the competition.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
I just love that. You do marketing. This is good stuff. How are we going to retain our greatest people?
Okay. And you're going to think that I'm the absolutely dorkiest guy on the whole face of the planet right this minute, right? But that's okay. I'll own it. One is, I'll tell you this, in our shop, every single morning we have a morning meeting. And what we talk about is, what are we here to do? We're here to make people's lives easier. Verbatim. That's it. We're here to make people's lives easier. Now, everybody will relate that to, oh, you're going to keep make the client's lives easier. And of course, that's got to be a part of it. But we're also going to make our teams, each other's lives easier. You know, there's lots of shops out there, unfortunately, that if you call over, hey, need some push help, right, to push a car in. Well, how much am I getting paid for that, right? You won't last in my shop. You won't ever come to work for me if that's the attitude that you have, because we'll weed you out really quickly. You know, we have a team that they work together, you know, so we make each other's lives easier. We take care of our vendors. We want to make their lives easier. I'm not going to beat them up over price. You know, now they need to be competitive, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to buy a part, put it on a car, didn't fix it, rebox it, send it back. That's not ethical to do that, right? So we needed to keep everybody's lives, make everybody's lives easier. Now, in that, we're creating a team of people that like to work together, that enjoy being around each other, right? And that's a big thing. You don't want to come to work like, ugh, right? I mean, who wants to do that? So I think that's one big part of it. Of course, pay is a huge part of it, right? I mean, and that's something that I think finally in this industry is starting to get to the point where we can charge enough so we can pay enough, right? As far as, I think this little thing, you know, just knowing, just like you wanted to create a relationship with your clients, you want to create a relationship with your, you know, with your employees and your teammates.
You're talking about culture here.
Culture is a huge thing. Unfortunately, that word is thrown out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say this. Culture is not made. Culture is created.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time for it to happen. You can't step in there tomorrow morning. You can't come to training and then get, you know, oh, rah, rah, and then go back the next morning and like, we're going to do this and this is everything, right? It doesn't work like that. You know, we do book readings. So I buy lunch on one shop on Tuesday, the other shop on Wednesday, and we stay at lunch and then we have books, we read. We talk about the books, you know, usually self-help books.
Hopefully reading is coming back, but go ahead. Great point. So self-help book, would you read a chapter, a couple of paragraphs?
Depends on the book.
Okay.
Some books, it's like, hey, let's read the whole book and let's talk about it. Some of it's like, one of my favorite books is How to Win Friends and Influence People, right? And that'll be, you know, let's read a few chapters and then let's talk about it.
Great book.
You know, great book. And I mean, written almost 100 years ago.
I know.
So.
Carnegie.
Yeah. So. But it's, and then, and you know what happens is then all of a sudden people are like, hey, let's read this book next. Or, you know, I heard that this book was good.
Anybody ever come up to you that you've hired that's been on your team saying, I thought you were a nutcase, Sherwood, but I love what we do now?
Oh, definitely I've had.
Because you're a culture changer. You're a culture builder. And some of the people that come to work for you that feel maybe uncomfortable in this come up and say, man, I was going to fight this, but my God, my life is so different now.
Our hiring process is somewhat unique.
It weeds that out, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
It's a 5-interview process.
Yeah.
So it's interview with me or my son.
Yeah.
And then it's interview with me and my son and one of my employees. So one of our team. And we don't have anything to do with it. We'll just sit there and they just talk, right? Because I trust every one of my employees. And then if my employee goes, you know, that's all I need to see. Yeah. And then we want to meet with their family. We want to, you know, so we all take them to dinner. We want to meet who is in their life that's important. So my family, my wife, you know, my son, all the grandchildren, you know, his wife, we all go, we'll meet there. I mean, one time we had somebody that
brought seven people. It was like Thanksgiving dinner.
One time we had somebody brought seven people and we literally had a huge table, right? That person didn't work out, but that's okay. Then we have them do one of the lunches in the shop, you know, so they can get to meet everybody. And so
they don't come to you for a quick fix or a quick change. And you can weed out the person who's coming to ask to get a proposal from you so they can go back to their owner and say, hey, I just got invited to go to work for royalty. They're going to pay me X. And so you're playing one-upmanship.
I'll give you a really funny story. All right. I actually did a TikTok on this.
Yeah.
We had somebody come in and interviewed for a job. And he said he had worked at one of the other shops in town who had recently got bought out. And he said he was looking and, you know, he interviewed really good. But one of his references, not one of his previous employers, but one of his references, personal reference, was somebody who I knew really well. I've known since 92 or something, right? So a long time. So
nice to see that.
You know, and he said, yeah, you call him. He's going to be, okay, I'll call him. I'll let you know. So I called him up and I said, hey, got him in here. He goes, yeah, you don't want to do that. I'm like, really? Oh, yeah, he never comes to work. So I got the whole lowdown. I mean, it was like, oh, really, really? You know, I'm like, why would he put you down as a reference? You know, and he told me this story. Here's the funny part of the story. He said, oh, he came to me a few years ago and said that you offered him a job. I want you to understand, I'd never seen this man before in my life. He said, he came to you and you offered him a job for $3 an hour more. So at that time, we needed somebody. So I said, okay, well, I'll just pay you $3 an hour more. He never came to me. So he lied about coming to do that, right? That he came to me. He didn't. And then he gave that person as a reference that he told that, like that story was never going to come to light. So.
Duh.
We weeded him out with one interview.
Does this happen a lot?
That's the only time that's ever happened.
To you. Yeah. But do you think it happens a lot? I mean, not the reference thing, but people coming 100%. In and saying, I'm getting more money. I just got an offer from blank. That's the beauty of the networking. That's the beauty of being intimate. It's not the right word, but having a quality relationship with every independent shop in town.
And I'll go so far as to say that with your teammates, with your employees, right?
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. If a guy's coming to you that works for your girl, that's working for you. I mean, let's just say it like it is. They're lying, saying they went to somebody else and they're going to pay him more money so that you'll give them more money. If they're willing to lie to do that, that's a problem for me, right? Two, why don't they have a good enough relationship with you to come to say, listen, I think I'm worth $3 an hour more.
Right.
Right? I see it all over all the forums and everything. Oh, if you got to go ask for a raise and you shouldn't be working and everything. It's like, listen, guys, shop owners are busy and sometimes we forget, right? We're not perfect. Don't think that it's bad to go to a shop owner.
Absolutely.
And say, you know,
I completely agree. There's sometimes listening to the forums is like when you find the answer you're looking for, you're satisfied. So why post it? If you're not going to change your conviction, no matter if you're finding different perspectives in the discussion, but then you end up saying, oh, okay, I'm still doing it right. I think 10 people.
That's the world we live in with every aspect.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Ghosting. Did you ever get ghosted on a hire?
No.
Good for you. No. And maybe it goes back to, you know, when you describe your hiring process, it goes back to a class that I took from Bob Cooper once. And, you know, hiring rock stars and the process. And I know you're with Elite, and I know it's so critical and so important not to hire on the first date.
Oh, no. Yeah. That's just, you're just looking for a warm body at that point.
Yeah.
That's, what do they say? That's hire easy and manage hard.
Right. I know exactly right. Any of your people on your team ever recommend someone to come to work for you?
Yeah.
Yeah. See.
Unfortunately, he had some family issues and had to move back. He's actually a trainer, super good guy. I won't mention his name on here, but he was on Facebook looking, and one of my guys, wasn't on this particular Facebook group, and one of my guys like, oh, and he literally called him up and said, hey, you need to come work for us. And we brought him in, and he lived in Midwest. So we brought him in, brought his family in, and had a weekend, a 4th of July weekend, actually. We put them all up.
You're a party guy.
And we had the blow-up houses at my son's house, and we had the kids. Because we knew he wanted to come. We knew his wife was going to be okay. We got to win the kids. We got to win the kids. He had 4 kids. We needed to win the kids. I told him flat out. I said, I'm going to be honest with you. I've got ulterior motives. I said, we're going to win your kids. So we had the 2 teenage boys, and we had the 2 little girls. 2 little girls were pretty easy to win over. You know, they're just wanting to have fun. The 2 teenage boys, we had to work on a little bit. But he ended up coming to work for us. Worked for a year and then had some issues. Had to move back home with some family issues. But it's one of those processes where, you know, this is an important thing when you're hiring somebody, right? This is not a haphazard, you know, just... You know, oh yeah, you're just come in, like you said, first date, you're here, I'm here, you know. Yeah, it's not a good thing. Never turns out good.
First base, second base, third base, home.
Yeah. In 1 hour. If it's even an hour.
Oh my God. Yeah, you're right. Exactly right. And people, when they say confession to themselves, they'll realize that they've made some missteps throughout their career. And I still am I'm a huge believer that you can fix it and start changing tomorrow. Yeah. Please don't stay in your rut.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, these things that we do, like I said, it's an evolution have come up. Do you think I haven't hired somebody on the first date within 30 minutes?
Yeah, I bet you have.
Oh, I have.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. This is.
It was a quickie.
It's how you know.
Yeah.
The way you know that something doesn't work is that you did it.
Yeah, exactly right.
I'm not smart enough, at least, to learn from other people's mistakes generally. So, unfortunately.
Yeah. Look at the scars. There they are. They're not only all over my body, they're all over my head.
Ooh, yeah.
My mind,
they
inside.
They live in your brain.
Yeah, they live in your brain. And occasionally that 2 o'clock wake up says, oh my God, I hope that never happens
again.
It's
amazing how 2 o'clock is that number, by the
way. Isn't it?
Yeah. Everybody says it. And it literally is 2 o'clock.
Yours is 3, Trace?
Oh, you're the only person I've ever
said that. Wow. Yeah, mine's 2. I actually have a pad of paper and a pen on my nightstand.
You just do the phone.
Well, you're right. I should do the phone, but the phone's in the office charging. Okay. I don't want to ever hear, and it's on silent overnight, but I just don't want it to light up or do anything. Yeah, I'm old school. I'm a note taker. Just look around right here. Yeah. I'm a note taker. And it seems like when I write it, I remember that I wrote it. I don't remember it, but I remember I wrote it. I wrote that thing about, and I go find that piece of paper.
We are visual creatures, so seeing it has actually
I know. And I think part of it is, you know, I grew up when there were no cell phones, and you know, we had to handwrite and then learn how to type on a Selectric IBM, maybe, just go up and down. And then there. I know you have. See, cool.
You mentioned that, and actually, Mark Warren was up talking about. Were you in there when he was talking about the record player?
We missed that. We were here doing an episode.
He was talking about machines and working on machines, and he said, "You know, your first machine that you were interested in working on wasn't a car. He said his was a record player.
Yeah.
Mine, I remember this. Mine was in 5th grade." I had a math teacher that if you got an A on the test, that you got to go over, and he had like a 1950s era typewriter. And I can remember to this day, he had a little pair of needle nose pliers, and that thing had 5 million e-clips on it. I didn't know them as e-clips then.
Yeah,
And you could go over and you could just take that thing apart. And I tell you what, I got a lot of A's in that class because I wanted to just go over there and play with that old school typewriter and just take it apart. So, but then, I did learn typewriting.
What's a record player? To my audience, my young people's listening.
How would you even do that over audio?
It's so interesting. Our Toastmasters group this past week, one of the questions in the table topics, first of all, we have our own Toastmasters, remarkableresults.biz/Toastmasters. Please join us. It has been a phenomenal change in my life and my career. We encourage service advisors and anyone who just wants to be more comfortable in communicating with people. It's not about becoming a speaker, but yeah, I could eventually make you a better speaker someday, but it's about communications. There's always this thing called the table topics, and someone's in charge of it and to throw out ideas. Okay. Sometimes there's a theme of the day. And I got one to ask about music, and I wasn't sure, but the table topics person picked me to talk about that. And was it vinyl or whatever? So to your point about the record player, I started to rant a little bit about, you know, having record players and records and
They're making a comeback.
Huh?
They're making a comeback.
Yes, they are. In fact, I was at a one of those stores that you can buy just about anything in at the mall. And they had, I don't know, it had to be 5,000 albums. $5, $10 a piece.
Old albums or new pressed? Like old originals?
Yeah.
Really? Nice.
No, they weren't new. They were all this classic stuff. Yeah. I have a ton of these records from the old days.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're pressing new vinyl now.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing. Anyway, I have an old phonograph. I should dig it out and do a TikTok on it.
There you go.
This was a blast.
Yeah. Put a CD on it, and then people don't even know what a CD is anymore. You used to be able to
Put
a CD and put a little needle on it.
How about an eight? Were you old enough to remember 8-track?
Are you kidding me? I had an 8-track in my first car. Yeah. I can hear Styx, what was the name of the album?
Oh, my.
I can literally hear.
Breakfast. It was a Breakfast. Was that Styx?
Paradise Theater.
Maybe it was.
And there was a song where it broke in half.
Okay.
And, you know, they used to have to do that on the 8-track.
Yeah, an 8-track,
right?
Yeah.
And every time I hear that song to this day.
You're waiting for the break.
I'm waiting for the break.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Great. But when I was in college, that's what I had. I had an 8-track player, two stereos. The 8-track went into the, you know, to the right side of it. And I wore out some tapes during college.
Yeah. Nice.
8-tracks. Oh, my God. Thank you for taking me down memory lane, Sherwood. Sherwood Cook from Royalty Auto Service, St. Mary's, Georgia, and the speaker here at the big event this year, and lots of luck. It's his first time giving this speech about stay out of the rabbit hole. I think it's a fabulous concept and a great training thing. You may just get asked to give this a lot of other places.
Let's hope. Let's get through this one.
Let's do this one. Hey, thanks so much for your time, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.